Welcome to Explain the Prophetic, where each week I give you a prophetic perspective, and we sometimes have interviews, and we're looking together for how hearing God's voice can change not only our lives, but the world around us. You can hear God, and as you build that connection, your whole life will change. Remember to follow me at social media, at Sean Bowles, or subscribe to this podcast. Welcome to Exploring the Prophetic, and I'm excited about today's word because I believe God's speaking something really powerful to all of us right now, and there's something about spiritual preparation. Some of us are getting stripped down, but what does that really mean, and what is God calling us into? Well, God uses many things to speak to us all the time in culture and politics and the world and animals, everything. He can use anything. The Bible shows us that. Well, I believe that God's using the life story of Mel Gibson in this current iteration of his life. As a prophecy right now, I recently heard an interview where Mel was sharing just right after his house burned down in Malibu, like $14 million property with a chapel he'd built for his Catholic religion or faith. And he felt like God was really stripping him of something. And so I'm going to play this clip, and then we're going to respond to it.
Well, look, as you know, I lost my house in Katrina. Our family lost our house, and it was gutting, and it was awful. But, you know, I came to see it as a great blessing in my life in time. I was struck this week, you did an interview and you said, in passing, you see this loss of your home as a purification. How so?
Well, it was an odd mixture of sadness and kind of a weird realization and blessing, I think, because I thought, you know, they're just things. I mean, yeah, I'm going to miss some stuff. There was valuable stuff. There was personal stuff that just breaks my heart, you know. But, I feel like I'm being stripped down and prepared for something else. Now, that's maybe very personal, but I feel like the Almighty's preparing me to do something big.
Well, I have to say, when I heard that, I thought, I wonder if this is, or if you're regarding this as a spiritual preparation for the resurrection movie you're about to embark on.
Yeah, I think that's kind of it. It's like, hey, look, God gives, God takes. We come in with nothing. That's the same way we go out, you know. And here's the deal. You'll always be okay if you seek first the kingdom of God. You'll always be okay. You'll get what you need. Look at the flowers of the field. Look at the birds of the air. They get fed. They get clothed. I mean, it's Matthew, I think. But that was one of my dad's favorite passages. He said, stop worrying about stuff, about money, about stuff. So, you know, I think he put that in my head when I was very young, and it stayed, and I believe it,
So, you know, the part that started to get me, like I actually reported this when we were already doing our Sean Bowles show, which is our news commentary show that you can watch every Tuesday. You can subscribe to it. But when he said it was obviously kind of devastating, it's emotional, but he said, I've been relieved from the burden of my stuff because it's all in the cinders. And then it hit me when he said relieved from the burden of his stuff. When you think about that for a second, this wasn't just about losing his house. It was about God allowing a stripping away, a total reset of Mel and his life. And I believe that's what God's doing for many of you right now, like Mel's life and some of the people who lost their property and their kind of their identity through what had been burned down and burned away. Mel's response was, you saw the video where it's like, but God's something inside me is okay. Like God was using it to prepare me for something. And God's doing that for many of you right now. Something really important to you just burned down out of your life, or something separated from you. Or maybe it was the purpose where God took you out of something, a land or a church or a business or an opportunity that would have devastated you and should have devastated you, but God's still there. The God's still with you. You realize it's the stripping of God, not a brokenness that's going to happen for the rest of your life. And when we recognize those seasons that he's preparing us for something else, and we have a biblical prototype for this, I'm going to show you, it helps us to understand how to not only position our hearts, but how to grow into what God has for us. And you know, this is a prophetic pattern of being stripped down before great things happen. It's happened all throughout scripture, like I said, and we've seen this pattern when God does something major in someone's life. There's almost always a season of stripping away, even when people have already been successful or people have already gone through great things. There could still be another stripping away, or there could be another reducing, is another way of saying it. It's not always like a painful shedding of skin. It could be just God reducing you for a new season. And I think of, you know, Job, who lost everything before he got the double blessing. God always ordained a season of level of blessing for Job that he couldn't have contained if he hadn't gone through the season of trial that he went through. A lot of people misunderstand what Job's really about. You know, it's about a man who walked with God and who God wanted to give so much more to, but he had to allow Job to go through what he went through. You know, and then you have Joseph, who was thrown into prison before stepping into his destiny as a ruler. And that's one of the ones that a lot of us relate to or identify with. I hear many people, as I've pastored and led people throughout the years and ministered to people, where they say, I'm a Joseph, and right now I'm in a prison season, or I'm in a hard season. And so or wilderness season is another one people say. When you're in a season like where you're reduced to almost nothing, you're reduced to only God's opportunity, you can't create opportunity in your own flesh, your own ability, your own strength, your own out of your own importance, but you're in a season where God has to create for you. That's one of the most uncomfortable places to be, but you watch Jesus live that way. He was very surrendered to what the Father wanted. And so he didn't have to be in a prison for it. I'm doing air quotes for those of you listening. But he had to be in a place where he was surrendered to it, to the point where it's like, your will be done, not mine. Mary said the same thing when she received the promise, your will, not by mine. And yet she went through an incredible testing of that, where Joseph almost rejected her. Her family, I'm sure, was going through stuff towards her. The whole thing was weird. You know, she knew it was weird, but she pondered the promise of God and considered him worthy to serve this way in her life. And there's some of us are going through maybe a stripping or reducing, and it's unto something. It's unto a greater spiritual purpose, like Job. You know, the early believers faced a severe famine when they first started, like right out of the gate. You know, Agabus prophesied that there'd be years of famine and they would have to share their resources. So right out of the gate, you know, if you had a lot, you were going to give a lot away to people who didn't have a lot in other areas who were believers, because you were going to share everything and have as much in common as you could. And so right out of the gate, people went through a season where the church monetarily had suffered. And so the brand new believers that they're trying to build something together were suffering. And yet the church itself didn't reduce at all. It actually spread like a wildfire that was outrageous. So, you know, Paul had a reducing. He went through shipwrecks and beatings and persecution before carrying the gospel to the nations. So he went through so much, and so it's during while he was sharing the gospel, but he went through so much to the point where his greatest ministry was while he was in prison. And you think of that, like he wrote some of the letters from inside a prison, and that probably wasn't ideal. That wasn't like, you know, like when you go to a conference, someone says, you're going to go to prison and write letters from that are going to change all of history. No one gives that kind of word. People give you the word of like, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to be great, you're going to be awesome, you're going to have the best health, your family's going to be awesome and have legacy. You know, like that's the kind of stuff was, you know, you will. But the reality is, as we walk through life, God requires us to surrender, and he requires our life to be a sacrifice. And so many of us are experiencing that right now, and we don't understand that there's a refining process before we get into, like Job, before we get into the double blessing, before we get into the greater things God's called us to. The blessing isn't like being outrageously wealthy. I mean, it could be for someone, but the blessing is walking with God in a way where you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life and you have the interaction with God to where you feel the fulfillment of that relationship and the relationships he gives you in life. That's when you're truly wealthy in the Spirit. And there's a lot of times a breaking down before there's a breakthrough. Some of you can relate to that. This is your hashtag my turn moment, where some of you know our hashtag for this Sunday morning services are, if you relate to this, but hashtag my turn. And then especially in the comments on YouTube, and we'll pray for you, especially if you put a little line about what to pray for. Maybe you're going through the breaking down before the breakthrough. Maybe things look the opposite of how you would lead yourself. Maybe things look the opposite of what you thought they would be at this stage in life. But I feel like many of you are in this exact season right now. And so that's why I'm giving this kind of prophetic kind of sermon message, because when we go through this, to have someone identify it and go, wait, we're going to be okay. You know, like part of the reason why you're here is because you, of course, you wouldn't lead yourself in this direction. You would lead yourself into only goodness and only blessing, but you would also lead yourself in ways that you could lead. But when you surrender your leadership to God and you allow him to lead you, he's going to lead you in ways, like he said to Peter, that you would not lead yourself when he was restoring Peter after Peter's fall. He says, you're going to be led in ways you wouldn't lead yourself. You're going to be going directions you wouldn't go by yourself. And because you're going to have my fruit, my kingdom, not your fruit. And so he's separating him from that man who, even towards the end of Jesus' life, denied him. And you would think Peter, out of all of them, wouldn't have denied him, but they all denied him. And so it's so beautiful to see, you know, that for us now, because then when you look at the reduction, you look at like the opposite sometimes happening in your life, you go, you know what, though, I trust God that he's going to use this, not only for my good, Romans 8:28, but he's also leading me in ways I couldn't lead myself. And maybe you're experiencing the loss or the transition or the unexpected challenges that are shaking things up. And it might feel like everything's been taken from you, or it might just feel like something really important has been taken from you. But actually, God is preparing you for something greater. that has eternal consequences. I mean, that's a reality. And what if the stripping down is a setup? Like, hold right there. What if the stripping down, what if the reducing is a divine setup? Instead of, you know, being in the pity party, the complaining time, the sadness, the sorrow of what's lost, what if you look at it and go, that's real? Sometimes we have to have mourning for what's lost. But do we allow our anticipation for who God is and his goodness to be greater than the mourning for what's lost? And I think if Joseph hadn't done that in the dungeon, then he would have just been suicidal. But because he's still in his heart some question marks that only God could answer, because he had in his heart some dreams that only God could bring fulfillment of, he allowed his heart to hope more than it fainted. He allowed his heart to hope against his current circumstances, knowing those current circumstances didn't define his future or his eternity. And I think we have to get there. I want to challenge you today that what if the thing you thought was a setback was actually God's setup for your life? And I think some of you are going to have a marvelous comeback into the fullness of what God has for you. And I think Mel Gibson, you know, he wasn't devastated by it the way you expect that he would be, losing all that he lost. And he's gone on record saying this, you know, he was felt it was a release from burdens. And I love how the man said, what if this was preparation to the resurrection of Christ and even greater things, you know? And because he wants to make that movie, The Resurrection of Christ, which would be the follow-up to the most, one of the most viewed movies in the top three viewed movies in history, The Passion of the Christ. Wow. Like, what if God needed Mel to be in a different frame of being to be able to make this movie the way it needed to be made? God knows. God, only God knows, but Mel feels that. He feels, and I think he's a prophetic signpost of many of us who God's doing something that's shaking and stabilizing in some areas. But if we're anchored in our faith and our hope to Christ, not in what people think about us, not in what circumstances are around us, not in the resources we have or don't have, but in Christ, something that we're holding on to tightly in Christ allows us to let go of things we're holding on to tightly in our own self. And our own expectation. Yeah, maybe it's our plans or security or whatever that we are able to let go to of something that normally humanity won't let go of. But when you surrender it to Christ and so you can have it all. And we pray that all the time, right? We sing, you can have it all, Lord, in different ways, in different worship songs, different iterations. We sing those kinds of songs. Where I surrender all, you can have it all, I give you everything. Yeah, do we mean it? And these are the seasons when you start to feel the reducing or the stripping. It means like, wow, I meant it in that prayer because you're doing it. Let me strip this away, God is saying, so I can rebuild you stronger. And some of us don't believe that because we're in the stripping away part. We, you know, with my children, when they're in the middle of doing homework on a night, they don't want to do homework, especially if it's a Thursday or Friday, they're done with school. They don't want any more school. They don't see any value in the school process. And sometimes I don't either, but you know, they don't see any value in the school process, but we know that when they graduate, they're going to have an education. They'll have some foundations, especially with some of the key things like math or like science or whatever, that if they didn't have that in them, they wouldn't be as fully formed as they need to be. And some of the things that God's doing for you is work, and it causes you to have to persevere. It causes you to have that grit and that endurance. But if you didn't have that in the future season, you would be so childlike and childish in a wrong way. And the next move of God is going to require us to travel really light. I really believe that. It doesn't mean you're not going to have stuff. I mean, there's going to be people who have stuff. But there's something about how you hold on to it that's going to cause people to question the way you live. Like, how can you do that? Like, how are you so anchored to this, but you're not anchored to this? Like, we're anchored to this, the things of the world, the things of divine society, the things, but you have some value here, but your anchors are over here. Tell us where your anchors are. And people with their marriages are going to ask you that. People with their finances and financial failures are going to ask you that. People with property issues are going to ask you that. People with family issues are going to ask you that. They're going to say, how are you so anchored? Like, tell us about your anchoring. Tell us about your salvation, because it doesn't make sense in light of how you're living life, because you're traveling so light. And that's going to be a theme, because people are, the noise is so loud. The activity level of most people is so furious and so overproductive in a wrong way, not like overproductive, like great production, but like people are workaholics from the time they're now youth. Children are workaholics. We're seeing, like, I think it's an 80% in America depression rate amongst kids and confusion rate around the purpose, because they have too much work. They have too many sports, too many activities, too much homework, or the whole thing. So if that's true, if those statistics are true with sociology, people are going to see that you're traveling lighter. It's different for you. And they're going to see it with their kids. They're going to see it with your marriage. So I believe we're in a season that, you know, we're stepping into something that, again, requires that lightness and less baggage, less attachment to things that don't serve our calling, even good things that just don't serve our calling. You know, it's like, I have some friends that they are people of, you know, decent means. They are above middle class, higher middle class, and they have to buy a property. And it was really interesting to watch what they would buy, because instead of buying like just a luxury kind of home that they could buy, which is like an upper middle class home, they end up buying like a ranch, and they end up doing like what Shereen and I love is homesteading. You know, it's like they end up doing some homesteading prepping stuff and living more off the land holistically with their family. And these kids who have been used to like country club living are all of a sudden getting their hands dirty, and they're all of a sudden having time and space away from technology and getting time and space away from the wrong side of team sports, so to speak. They're still in team sports, but the overindulgence of like everything revolves around this captain and his sport, you know, whatever. And they're starting to simplify. And in that simplicity, they've found some things that have grounded them differently. And I just think that, you know, some of you are losing some things because God's making room for something better. And what you would choose, even if you had the resources, might be different than what you would choose if it was about just your preference or just what you think you've earned or just what you think your family needs the most. Maybe God is going to give you some strategies and ideas of what you would want, like our friends who homestead instead of bought a luxury mansion or a luxury home, not a mansion, but a home. Maybe you're going to do something that surprises you because you're going to go with God's agenda and what he wants to build in your family. And some of you feel like things are falling apart, but God's actually positioning you for your purpose. And I think it's really important to see. Some of you may be being shaken because God's preparing you for a new assignment and you can't carry the old into it. I've seen that so many times. You know, I think of Mel sharing the reduction that God was preparing for a purpose. And I think of, you know, he knew God was in it. He knew and he trusted that God would use these things for his good. And I think that that's part where it's prophesying maybe to some of your circumstances right now, where this A-list celebrity who's lost everything to build this incredible movie, then, you know, gained an incredible amount of money and then had a crash in life and then rebuilt his life and started to reemerge as a political activist, as a Christian, as somebody who wants to see a movie that's never been made before, which would be the resurrection of Christ on this level. And you're watching this person. What if it is a prophetic word to you that God might reduce you before he creates the greatness that he has through you? And how do you position yourselves when God starts to strip things away? And I would say the first thing we have to do is let go as willingly as possible. You know, when something's taken from you, it's like there's a grief in it. But when God's pruning it and you understand it's a pruning, I understand pruning because my wife, not because of the Bible. I've watched my wife prune her fruit trees every year, and I watch her prune certain plants back. And there was one of my favorite trees we've ever had. It was this big, huge tree with all these like incredible blossoms. I love when it is in season twice a year. And I love this big bushy thing. And she pruned it all the way back to, you guys, I could put my arm around it. And it was no longer this tall, gorgeous tree. And I was actually mad, like frustrated with her. Like, why would you do that? She's like, it's never been pruned correctly. We moved in this house and it wasn't pruned right. So it's not growing correctly. I'm like, I loved how it grew. I love the wildness of it. Like, why are you doing this? She goes, you just wait. I'm like, no, I don't want to wait. I think you just ruined our tree. I don't want it to look like, you know, manufactured in a certain way. She goes, just wait. She just smiled and just wait. And I remember when, you know, that season came just a few months later, and it was stunning. Like, I want this tree again in every yard we ever have. It's stunning. And I was like, I was wrong. Okay, I was wrong. The pruning is good. The pruning is good. But there's so many of us that fight it because we want that wildness. We want our version. We want something that just, it looks good enough. I like how it looks. And God's like, no, I have something. I have a perfect plan. I have something that's better than you could imagine, better than you would have picked yourself. So when God's pruning you and you know it's a pruning, he removes something from you, an opportunity is no longer there, a relationship's no longer fulfilling, you're transitioning from the type of, you know, job or career you're doing and you're doing something else, trust him in the pruning, especially when it's a sudden thing. Trust him in it and trust that he's doing it for your good, and trust him that in the season that you come into, man, it's going to be so good. And then stay close to his voice when things feel unstable. Press into prayer, press into the word, press into community, like really get into the community. We have our spiritual growth community online so that you have a community. If you don't have it in your local community, people are hearing God and practicing like the spiritual gifts, practicing the fruit of the spirit, kind of crowdsource discipling each other. I'm going to encourage you to join us. It's a monthly community you can join. There's four classes every month that are on one subject each month. And this next month, we're doing secrets of unanswered prayer and how to get more prayers answered. So what are the secrets to why God doesn't answer certain prayers that are good secrets, that are things you need to know? And this is a great class for you with Charity Kayembe-Berkler, who's going to be teaching it. I just taught a class on interpreting Revelation, and it was foundational. We had dozens of people live with us. I think we had 60, 70 people live with us, and we had hundreds of people watching it. And then people are participating in our weekly activation groups. People are with us on our online Discord server. People are in my masterminds every month on the prophetic. So I'm going to encourage you to join us, but find a place, a community where you process what you're going through, because a lot of people are in different stages, and you learn from people who are just right above or right below you more than you learn from the people who have already entered into the final season of the promised land. You know, it's like you learn. When I had toddlers, I want to learn from people who had 5 and 6 year olds because they had just got out of the stage. I want to hear what was working for them. My grandmother was no longer relevant to the conversation for the most part, because she would just say, smack them. You know, like she had the old school patterns. You know, like, we want people to crowdsource us who are in the same process of growth we are. And so I'm going to encourage you to be around some really hungry people. And we provide that. Go to bowlsministries.com and mentoring, and you'll find that. But, you know, see a bigger picture right now. That's an important one. Some of you can't naturally see a bigger picture yourself, but what feels like destruction might actually be construction. There always has to be a demolition before a new building goes up, if it's replacing something. So if something's being replaced, even good renovation happens in your life where there was something you loved. I mean, some of the rooms you loved in the 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever generation, the 90s, the 10s, whatever generation you were in, there was something you loved that would no longer fit today. If you still had it today and you were hosting people a lot, it just wouldn't work anymore. It was something that was beautiful. That I remember, for those of you who are like me, a child of the 80s, everyone had burgundy and forest green, and you know, they'd have the border of maybe ducks, or they would have the stenciled on panes in the kitchen. Like, those things just, they're irrelevant today. And so sometimes you have to paint over and destroy walls and build open spaces. And that doesn't feel good. And remember, when there's that destruction, it's for your good. If there's a renovator, if there's a reformer, and Holy Spirit and Jesus, they're a reformer in your life to be able to bring you into something new. And I'm going to encourage you that He's worth it. He's worth allowing the reduction. He's worth allowing the shifting. And I know my wife and I are in one of the biggest shifts we've ever been in, of just allowing Jesus to be the most real He's ever been, and allowing Him to lead us in a way that we've never even asked for, but we hope for. And it's so good. And I feel God is strongly saying, and I was praying into this, I was really praying, saying, God, what are you saying to people through this message of seeing Mel Gibson, seeing him go through this, you know, seeing a pop culture icon go through this, who is really surrendering his life to you in the season. And I felt like he was saying, I'm preparing you. Don't fear the shaking, but let go of what's being removed and trust me that I'm making all things new. That's what he does. He makes all things new. And some of you are being made new. And so I want to encourage you, if you're in that season of stripping away, hold on. God isn't just taking things from you. He's preparing you for what's next. And that's the word for today. And I'm going to pray for you before we go on. And I'm going to encourage you, if this hit home with you, share with someone that you love who needs encouragement and who's going through a season like this. And I'd love to hear about it in our YouTube channel and the comments below. Also, we love it if you subscribe to this podcast and leave a review and tell people about it. And so before I pray for you, consider helping us to reach more people, and especially sow into this word. If this word was for you, we need your gifts. We're a nonprofit ministry who operates by the generosity of people just like you. So make sure to leave a gift over or a donation over at donate.bowlsministries.com. That's going to help us to build in the future, to keep reaching hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people a month with the gospel. And it's just so profound to be able to partner with you in beautiful ways like that. Well, let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for everything you're doing in your life, even the things we don't understand. And we bring to you the good and the hard and even the bad. And we say, God, would you help to make sense of this? Would you walk with us? Would you be our Father? We know you're our Father, but would you father us in these circumstances, God? Would you help us with the strippings and the reductions and the demolitions, God? Would you help us to have faith? Would you help us to have vision? And I speak over you, you will have vision. God is going to give you a big picture. He's going to give you hope. Just like Job, it was a terrible story unless you saw that in the end, Job inherited a double of what he had in God, not just the stuff, but the access, the relationship, the connection, the understanding, the maturity. Like, have you ever grown to that place where you love what God's doing in you and you're like, oh my gosh, you're worth it. You're worth it. You're worthy of it all. And you're going to get there again in a greater measure, because it goes from one place, from glory to glory. You go into a higher place in that revelation, in that surrender, and in what that surrender brings, where God occupies your life in an even more beautiful way. So I pray that God will give you even more vision for that, that it bring more relationships to encourage you, more words to encourage you, and more life to encourage you. And I just pray over you that God would just do beyond what you could hope for or imagine, even in your wildest dreams, in Jesus' name. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Prophetic. If you want to learn more about hearing God's voice, come over to my website, www.shawnbowles.com. That's S-H-A-W-N-B-O-L-Z. I have many resources for you there, like some on hearing God, like my best-selling book, Translating God. I have prayer books on breakthrough and provision to help you to have more language to talk to God. And we even have a devotional on this series called Exploring the Prophetic. I also want to invite you to spiritually grow by joining our online thriving mentoring community, where we have 12 four-week live classes a year on subjects that will shape your relationship with God. Themes like hearing God's voice, dream interpretation, deliverance, and so many other spiritual themes from expert teachers. And I personally get to train you in my Prophetic Monthly Mastermind live group if you join. Plus, when you join, we have an amazing online community with a spiritual growth pastor who will lead you in weekly groups to practice what you're learning. Go to bowlsministries.com or shawnbowles.com and click on Mentoring Community. See you next time on Exploring the Prophetic.